COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow & Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
Here on Stolen Lives, we discuss brutal and heartbreaking crimes against children. Themes may include child murder, torture, and sexual, domestic, and child abuse. I do try my best to remain respectful for the babies in these stories and leave out unnecessary details that honestly none of us need to know to understand the frustration of why and how this ever happened. However, if you find any of these themes triggering, this podcast may not be for you. Listener discretion is advised. This week's story is a listener suggestion. Thank you to Tess for bringing Cadence's story to my attention. A bit of housekeeping before we start this week's story. I had a listener reach out because a work colleague of hers lost a nephew in a senseless violent crime. Friend of the show, Shannon, shared with me 8-year-old Jarvie Roy's story, who only 2 weeks ago, August 16th, 2025, this sweet little boy was all cozied up in bed, his mother doing everything she could to keep him safe. When gunshots were heard from outside, Jarvie sat up in bed, only to be struck by a stray bullet. He died in his mother's arms. Canada is going through a lack of justice in its justice system right now, with violent offenders getting bail and shorter sentences. There is a petition to really put the pressure onto lawmakers throughout Canada to protect its children. No child should lose their life to violence. As the petition states, this tragedy highlights the urgent need for stronger laws, safer communities and greater accountability. As we know, Indigenous people, such as Jarvie, are disproportionately at risk. But every Canadian family deserves safety, justice and dignity. If you are interested, I will place links to the change.org petition in the show notes and on all my social media. September 2016, Cairns, Queensland, Australia. A baby girl born into a toxic household is removed and placed with the Holy Grail of foster carers, a family that wanted to raise her like she was their own. Unfortunately, 2 years into this foster placement, Cadence would be thrown back into an environment of violence and hatred, only for her to go missing a few months later. This is Cadence's story.
Let go, Rips. Hello, baby, you're walking.
She was so beautiful. Happy. She loved music.
She just loved being with people.
She loved to be loved.
Cadence Hazel DeWitter Mills was born September 23, 2014 in Cairns, Queensland, to parents Anita DeWitter and Robert Mills. Even before Cadence was born, she had come to the attention of the Department of Children's Services, or DOCS as I'll refer to them in today's story. Anita was issued with an unborn child high risk alert, and this was because DOCS considered Robert a threat to the safety of both Anita and the unborn baby. Robert had an extensive criminal record, mostly due to crimes involving illegal substances. Cadence's two big sisters had already been removed from Anita's care and placed into foster care because of Robert's presence in their lives. By the time Cadence was born, the home environment hadn't improved, and so when she was 5 weeks old, Cadence was placed into the foster care system. November 2014, Cadence went to live with Sally and Nick Pearson in the country town of Innisfail. It was here Cadence got the opportunity to be loved unconditionally, and she had all the cuddles and kisses any child could have ever needed. Cadence thrived with the Pearsons, and they treated her like the princess she was. And this was Cadence's life for almost all of her short existence. We are just going to take a quick break now for a word from one of our sponsors.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow & Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten. Rakuten.com.
September 18, 2016, just days before her second birthday, Cadence was returned to her mother, Sunita. Sally Pearson would later recall that she considered the day she left Cadence with her mother as the second most traumatic day in her life. The most traumatic being the day she was told the little girl she referred to as her granddaughter had died. But Sally asked Sunita to hold Cadence to comfort her while the Pearsons left. But Sunita couldn't even do that, could not even pretend for mere minutes that she cared about this little girl. Because as the Pearsons reached their car, Cadence came out running after them, screaming and crying for her protectors. Sally left Cadence with Sunita, telling the mother that if she ever needed her, ever needed a break, to please contact them, and they would drop everything and come pick Cadence up. This call would never come. Now, Sally did attempt to contact Sunita because she wanted to wish Cadence a happy birthday. But no one ever answered, and Sunita never returned the phone call. Sally never saw Cadence again. Sally's mother did, however, at the local shops. Cadence recognised her and took off towards her foster grandmother. Sunita grabbed the two-year-old, scolding her. Sally's mother would contact her daughter that afternoon with her concerns, that Cadence looked underweight and not very well. Sally forwarded this report to Docs, but it doesn't appear that any action was taken. Now, this doesn't mean that Docs weren't involved. They were, but it was completely voluntary on Sunita's part. After Cadence was returned to Sunita's care, she consented to continue working with the department under an intervention with parental agreement. And these exist to allow child protection to work with families, to ensure everything is in place for the safety of the vulnerable child or children. That formal agreement ended in November 2016, so 2 months later. And at this point, all three girls were back living with Sunita full-time. Even though they were under no obligation to until the end of that year, social workers continued to visit the family at their apartment in the town of Tully, south of Innisfail. Sunita had horrible taste in the men she chose to enter into relationships with, and the man she was living with at the time our story takes place is no exception. Sunita started dating Tane Desarchi in late 2015, and now Sunita had Cadence back with her. The couple decided to move away to start the new year, for a fresh start, telling them she was moving to Chinchilla, more than 1,300 kilometres or 800 miles away. But the real reason they were moving was because Tane was assaulted by Cadence's biological father, Robert, and his associates, and he was fearful for his life if they remained in the area. Tane was a nasty piece of work that immediately took a dislike to Cadence, his animosity towards Robert Mills definitely influencing his treatment of the toddler. Tane brought 11 children of his own into the relationship. He also had a long history of domestic violence offences against previous partners. within weeks of their move, and without the watchful eyes of the authorities, Tane began taking out his hatred and anger out on Cadence. Cadence was only 2 years old, and not fully toilet trained. It didn't help that Sunita didn't have a potty, and instead Cadence was expected to use the adult toilet. But if Cadence had an accident, normally you would clean up the mess, reassure the toddler they would make it next time, and you start again. But not Tane. Tane would beat her with a bamboo stick. And after Cadence wet the bed, she was forced to sleep on the bathroom tiles, naked and alone, treating her worse than an animal. If Cadence went to the toilet on the floor, she would be forced to eat her own feces. And when that wasn't working, Tane withheld food and water from the little girl. Cadence's sisters were not allowed to sneak her food or even talk to her. She had to be treated like she didn't even exist. On the rare occasion Cadence was given food, she had to eat it alone in the bathroom. Sunita would hide the bruises to her daughter by dressing her in long-sleeved tops and pants, regardless of the weather outside. This also worked to hide Cadence's rapidly declining weight. When her hair became matted, Sunita simply shaved the 2-year-old's head. Early 2017, Robert Mills was released from a 12-month prison sentence, and this was the turning point in his life. He pledged to change his life for the better. He wanted to have a good relationship with his children and spend time with them, watch them grow up. Robert contacted Sunita requesting contact with Cadence. At first, she would give him vague answers as to why he couldn't come visit his daughter, sending him old photos of the little girl. Concerned for her well-being, Robert contacted Docs, requesting they do a welfare check. But due to his criminal record, Docs considered Robert unreliable and failed to do anything. They simply wrote Robert's concerns off as a custody dispute and not a real threat of child abuse or mistreatment. And because Cadence was back living with her mother and no longer in foster care, they were under no requirements to open a report on Cadence. Eventually, Sunita told Robert that she'd given up custody of Cadence, that Cadence was now living with foster carers in Innisfail, which was true for a time before all of this, but definitely wasn't the case at the time she told Robert that story. But she couldn't even keep this story straight. Because she told other members of the Mills family, she gave Cadence to a neighbour in Chinchilla, and all of this was reported to Docs. Still, the department did nothing to even try and lay eyes on the toddler. The last time Cadence was seen alive by someone outside of Sunita and Tane, Cadence's sister would later report seeing the 2-year-old lying on a red sofa in the family's living room. Her emaciated body was covered completely, with a flower-patterned sheet up to her neck. Cadence's eyes were closed, her face and head covered in bruises, many of these bruises in straight lines. It appeared she was struggling to breathe. After this point, she didn't remember seeing her sister again. Given the sister's age, she also wasn't sure when this was. Just that she was there one day and not the next. After her death, Sunita and Tane wrapped her body in garbage bags and placed her in the outhouse in the backyard of their home. They gathered up everything that suggested Cadence ever existed, and they organised a camping trip to Chinchilla Weir. But this really was a cover to dispose of Cadence and her belongings. For the next 2 years, Sunita and Tane went about their lives as if nothing happened. They continued to claim government benefits for Cadence. They got engaged and had 2 children together. And they continued to tell anyone who asked about Cadence that Sunita had given up parental rights of her. The abuse wasn't solely directed towards Cadence. Sunita would also suffer from Tane's violent anger. The escalation of this incredibly toxic relationship reached its peak in late spring 2018, when Tane dragged Sunita by her hair while she was breastfeeding their youngest child. But this would be the end of Tane's and Sunita's relationship. November 5th, 2018. Docs were notified about the domestic violence incident, and when asked about Cadence's whereabouts, Sunita lied to them. She said Cadence was visiting with an aunt in Brisbane. 8 days later, that same social worker visited the home again. But this time, Cadence was no longer just on a holiday with her aunt, but she was now living with her aunt Jessica in Brisbane. But Sunita couldn't give a surname for Jessica or a contact number. I really do not understand, with Cadence's father placing reports and with this, why this wasn't enough to get police involved in finding this little girl. A little girl who would have been dead for at least a year at this point. The next red flag was 2 months later, in January 2019. Sunita had an appointment with June Cook, a clinical nurse at the Western Downs Mental Health Service in Chinchilla. She had been referred there by her doctor. But Sunita told Nurse Cook she had a secret that she'd been hiding from everyone, that she was afraid if she revealed this secret, she would lose her children. Sunita allegedly said the secret involved her ex-partner and one of her children, that it happened a few years earlier. Nurse Cook referred what she had heard to docs, but again, they really didn't do anything. The report was recorded as a child concern report, and what this means is the concerns weren't at the threshold for an investigation. It would actually be another 8 months before police would be called to investigate Cadence's whereabouts. This is insane to me. Robert was unfortunately back in prison, but investigators did visit him in prison to question what he knew about Cadence's whereabouts. It was quickly evident that Robert knew nothing. He hadn't seen Cadence since she was a baby. He gave investigators full access to his phone and other electronic devices in his home. He answered any question they had. Obviously, Robert made his mistakes and did things he probably isn't proud of, but I cannot imagine as a parent not knowing where your child is. The following month, February 2019, Cadence's older sister spoke to a school counsellor about her sister and that she was worried about her, telling the school counsellor everything she knew and what she remembered about the last time she saw her sister. It would only be then when the school reported this to docs, would anyone that could help would take any of this seriously. It was first thought that Cadence was buried in the backyard of the family's previous home in Chinchilla, where they were living when Cadence went missing. December 2019, the backyard was excavated with the help of cadaver dogs. Authorities had expanded their search to include the banks of the nearby Condamine River, but no evidence as to what happened to the toddler was found. Police then tried placing a tap on Tane's phone, where he was heard talking to Sunita about Cadence, calling her a, quote, dying little cunt, unquote. It seemed as if they were trying to align their stories, in that Cadence had a seizure and died. But all of that fell apart when the two were brought in for questioning. They quickly turned on each other. As we often see when monsters like these are placed under scrutiny, they point the finger and refuse to take any responsibility. Tane told investigators he had come home from a night of drinking and gambling, that he found Cadence lying on the sofa, covered with a flower-patterned sheet, her body and head in bruises, and she was barely clinging on to life. But Sunita would tell him not to call an ambulance or take her to hospital. And when he checked on the two-year-old the next morning, she was dead. At Sunita's insistence, he helped to dispose of the body. Through his lawyers, Tane agreed to the terms of a plea deal, where, as in exchange for the location of Cadence's remains, he would plead guilty to manslaughter and torture. March 2020, with Tane DeSarchi and Sunita DeWitter behind bars, the police recovered the skeletal remains of little Cadence Mills, buried in a shallow grave at Chinchilla Weir. A teddy bear memorial would later grow here to remember a little girl whose life was taken before it really had the chance to begin. Now, we don't know when Cadence actually died. Police would later state they believe Cadence was murdered sometime between February 16th and May 6, 2017. We also don't know a cause of death. Because of the advanced decomposition of the remains, this created complications in creating a likely scenario. An autopsy found Cadence had suffered a green stick fracture to her left rib before her death, as well as fractures to the base of her skull. The fracture to her skull was so bad that the medical examiner compared it to be similar to what would have been seen in a high-speed car crash. Cause of death was theorised to be due to abdominal trauma or a broken neck. June 2024, Toowoomba Supreme Court, in front of presiding judge Justice Sean Cooper in a judge-only trial. Tane and Sunita being tried together with different legal teams. Now, Tane had already pleaded guilty under the plea deal, and Sunita pled guilty to 2 counts of interfering with a corpse, but not guilty in her daughter's murder. Before the trial even started, there were objections. Because of the history of domestic violence, Sunita's legal team requested a screen be placed between her and Tane because she was frightened of him. And Tane's legal team objected to the phone call where he allegedly called Cadence a dying little C-word, that due to the poor audio of the call, the defence argued that Tane was actually saying lying and not dying. Not that I think that matters all that much, because the way he spoke about Cadence already showed he very much disliked her. The prosecution argued that while it was Tane who delivered the fatal blows, Sunita was just as guilty for her daughter's death because she actively chose to keep Cadence in this dangerous environment, that the two-year-old was destined to die due to her mistreatment, that both their behaviour was cruel, unrepentant and cold-hearted. During the 12-day trial, 50 witnesses gave evidence, including a friend Sunita connected with on social media. Sunita alluded that Tane had done something to one of her daughters when she was asleep. Now, this would be alarming for anyone, but when questioned about it further, she would claim no knowledge about the conversation, that it wasn't her who messaged this and her account had been hacked. Tane's defence team argued that due to the advanced decomposition of the remains, it was not clear if the skull fracture occurred before or after death, and there was not any evidence that he was the person who inflicted the blows, that it was Sunita who had become frustrated with the toddler, and that she was the one who would strike Cadence in the back of the head with either her hand or a weapon. Sunita's defence team argued that Tane was the only aggressor, and that he displayed three emotions towards Cadence: distance, disgust, and hatred. And therefore, it was more likely for Tane to be the one to be responsible for Cadence's death. That Sunita didn't have the motive to kill her own daughter. That she too was the victim of Tane's excessive violence.
45-year-old Tane Dasaji had sat emotionless in the court for most of the trial, but was shocked when his sentence was read out earlier this afternoon. Justice Sean Cooper outlined the confronting final days of 2-year-old Cadence Mills, who was beaten with a bamboo stick and forced to eat her own waste before her death in 2017. The judge said Dasaji felt anger towards Cadence's biological father, which influenced his feelings and awful treatment of the toddler. He said, "None of that provides any excuse for your horrifying mistreatment and ultimately your killing of a vulnerable child in your care. That appalling conduct must be denounced." The court also heard Dasaji and Cadence's mother Sunita DeWita lied together and told everyone Cadence had gone to live with her aunt, when the awful truth was they buried her body in garbage bags at the Chinchilla Weir during a family camping trip 5 years ago. Dasaji was sentenced to life in prison, but with time already served, he'll be eligible for parole in March 2042. Sunita DeWita was acquitted of murder on Tuesday, but was sentenced to two counts of interfering with a corpse.
In sentencing, Justice Cooper said Tane's conduct was horrific. Tane Dasaji was sentenced to life imprisonment. He must serve at least 22 years in prison for Cadence's torturous death. Taking into account more than 1,600 days in pre-sentence custody, he will be eligible for parole March 1, 2042. As at August 2025 when I'm recording this episode, Tane's legal team are appealing his sentence. Sunita DeWita was acquitted of murder and torture. She had already pleaded guilty to the two counts of interfering with a corpse. For this, Sunita was sentenced to just 18 months in jail. She was released on parole September 23, 2024. Unfortunately, nothing compared to the life sentence she allowed her daughter by keeping her in that household with that abusive monster. In front of the court, Roberts told the waiting news media that he believed his daughter would still be alive if she wasn't Aboriginal but white. Quote, "They don't listen if a parent got a bad record if they make a complaint about the other parent. They just discard it because he's jealous or whatever. They discriminate and now look, a little girl is dead. I think it was all swept under the carpet because of her Indigenous descent." Unquote. In speaking about Cadence, docs said their protocol was ignored, but that there were laws in place that barred official comments on individual child cases. And all they could say about Cadence was the safety and well-being of all Queensland children was a top priority, and they were continually working to ensure the state's child protection system does what it is supposed to, and that's protect children. We are just going to take a quick break now for a word from one of our sponsors.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
Time. It's always vanishing. The commute, the errands, the work functions, the meetings, selling your car. Unless
You sell your car with Carvana. Get a real offer in minutes. Get it picked up from your door. Get paid on the spot. So fast, you'll wonder what the catch is. There isn't one. We just respect you and your time. Oh, you're still here? Move along now. Enjoy your day. Sell your car today.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
4 months after Cadence's remains were discovered, June 2020, her former foster parents, Sally and Nick Pearsons, they held a memorial with others who knew the girl from her short time living with them in Innisfail. Grieving and broken by the system, Sally and Nick spoke of their frustrations. They are no longer foster carers. Quote, "You feel bad for walking away, but you think about Cadence in the most important years in their life. This is going to happen again, I can assure you, unless something changes in child protection." Unquote. September 2020, Cadence's biological family held a funeral for her, decorating her grave with flowers, pink balloons, and a peacock windmill. Robert gave a short speech. He also spoke to the news media, quote, "I took 2 minutes to stand up and talk on her behalf, to be her voice and to make sure she was heard." Unquote. Cadence would later be described by those who knew and loved her as the sweetest little girl. She adored broccoli, her painted toy, and any type of music. Cadence loved to sing and dance to her favourite songs. Her foster parents, Sally and Nick Pearsons, would later lovingly remember the toddler breaking out in dance every time she heard the song, "Everybody Dance Now." She loved to be loved, and that's all she knew. Quote, "She came into our care. We showed her so much love. She didn't know any different." Unquote. If you have your own thoughts and theories on the story we discussed today, or any stories we talk about here on Stolen Lives, please search Stolen Lives Podcast on Facebook, like the page so you don't miss an episode, and join the Stolen Lives discussion group to talk about your thoughts and theories. You can also talk to us on Instagram, Stolen Lives Podcast. If you like what you heard today, we would appreciate it if you share this episode on your social media of choice and subscribe and leave a positive review on your podcast app. Today's episode was researched and written by me, Ali. Hosting and production was also by me, Ali. Music is by Mayu.
Has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hi there, my name is Annie Elise, aka your true crime BFF and host of the podcast Serialistly. I have been a true crime enthusiast forever, but I wished somebody would break down the cases for me like a friend, giving all the details and discussing every twist and turn. So I decided to create a podcast that does just that. Serialistly with Annie Elise is topping the charts with over 1 million weekly downloads. I do the deep dives in these cases so you don't have to, diving into all the raw details, saying what we're all thinking, and in a conversational way, just like having a conversation with your best friend. So join me and let's talk all things true crime. Serialistly with Annie Elise. New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday wherever you get your podcasts.